Well, as we've said a few times already, it is the first Sunday of Advent. In fact, it is only 28 days until Christmas, but don't panic. This is courtesy of the little golden books in case you're wanting to look it up later. Well, I don't consider myself to be a huge panicker, if that's even a word, but I would tell you that I can be the occasional drama queen. My family would tell you perhaps that I'm a bit more than the occasional drama queen. In fact, one of them yesterday said that I was an expert at drama. One of the two sitting in the front row said that. But as a parent, I've had reason on a few occasions to panic. Those of you who are parents in the room can appreciate that. I remember back to about 5 years ago when our eldest son, Noah, was 15 years of age. He was home alone on a Saturday morning and thought that he would cook himself up a storm on the barbecue for breakfast. And we got a phone call to say that the barbecue was on fire. Don't panic. It's all fine. We're all still alive. Or when the head of the junior school that our children were attending, yes, the head of the junior school called to tell me that our child had had an accident and I needed to get to school very quickly. It's all fine though. We're all still alive. But one of my most panicked memories comes from before I was a mum, actually, when I was the fully licensed driver in the car with a learner. It was a Sunday afternoon and I was the leader of the singing company, which is the kids' choir, at Box Hill Choir in Melbourne. And the singing company were going to an afternoon concert. One of the young guys from the choir, who was not 18, he used to play drums for the group. And so he'd loaded all his drum kit into his own car, and you couldn't do this these days, but his mum and I and him agreed that the easiest thing to do was for him to drive his car and for me to be the driver in the car. It was just going to save us from moving everything around. Now, this young man, he was a good driver. I think he might still be. I think he's all right. My kids still occasionally go in the car with him, but he was also a bit of a joker. And as we're driving down Nepean Highway in Melbourne, a fairly main road, we were nearing an intersection and the light was red. So I was suggesting very calmly, as you do with a learner driver, that maybe he should start slowing down. Or maybe he should really start slowing down. Or maybe he should consider putting his foot on the brake and letting us stop. But no, we went sailing straight through this red light. And I said, "What are you doing? Stop mucking around. You've just gone through a red light." To which I heard the words that have panicked me nearly more than any other words in my life. And he said, "The brakes are not working. Look." And I'm thinking to myself, maybe he's pushing the wrong pedal. Is he pushing the right pedal? Maybe the other one is the brake. Maybe I'm losing my marbles. Maybe this is how I'm going to die today. What I have omitted to tell you is that this young man, who's not so young anymore, is now my brother-in-law. He is married to my sister, and this is what he looks like. This is Trent and the car in question, the Mitsubishi Colt. Trent still has those sunglasses, apparently, which is of a concern in my opinion. That's why my children still go in his car, because he is their uncle, and actually Trent's auntie is Major Anne Lingard. But don't panic. Don't panic, it's Christmas. Bronte has already shared with us some things that happen at Christmas. There's presents to buy, food to cook, Christmas cheer to happen, a house to clean within an inch of its life. I'm one of those people who likes to clean the sauce bottles at Christmas time just because it's Christmas. Christmas caroling, there's sermons to write, there's gingerbread houses to build, there's Christmas parties and end of year functions to attend, there's all the end of school term things, presentation night, there's more decorations, more food, more Christmas collecting, more functions, but don't panic, do not fear, it's Christmas, Jesus is coming. But you know, while I may joke, I recognise that Christmas can actually be extremely stressful for many people. And people can experience higher levels of anxiety, and it is not the most wonderful time of the year for everyone. It can be difficult and it can be challenging. And if you're one of these people and you need someone to talk to, please know that we are here and we are available to have a conversation with you. But for a few moments this morning, I want to consider Mary and the possible panic and maybe the fear that she experienced leading into the first Christmas. Warren Wiersbe, a well-known American Bible teacher, says, when it comes to Mary, people tend to go to one of two extremes. They either magnify her so much that Jesus takes second place, or they ignore her and fail to give her the esteem she deserves. Well, here are some facts. The story of the conception of Jesus is well known. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, it says in Luke 1, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to see her and said, greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. There are so many things, if I were Mary, that would make me panic in just these three verses. There's an angel here. There's an angel talking to me. The angel is telling me that I am highly favoured and that the Lord is with me. But wait, I'm still not over the fact that there's an angel here. I read this week, which is a bit of a side note, that Luke actually mentions angels 23 times in his gospel. But if the angel appearing and the angel speaking to Mary hasn't caused enough panic, the narrative goes on. And the angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. No, nothing to fear. I'm a young woman, a teenager, engaged to a good man. A virgin who is now pregnant, don't panic. We know that among Jews at this time, an engagement was almost as binding as marriage and could only be broken by divorce. In fact, even before they were married, once they were betrothed, once they were engaged, they were then known as husband and wife. God has a surprise for you. Don't panic. But within just a few verses, it seems that everything changes. Because Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. From Luke chapter 1, we can see that Mary knew quite a bit about who her son would be. The angel had spoken words to her, but also as a Jewish woman from the house of David, and from what the angel had said, she would have understood that her son was the Messiah, the promised saviour who would rule on David's throne. She knew that she would conceive under unusual circumstances. Whether or not she fully understood these implications, we don't know. But she also knew that Jesus would be the Son of the Most High and the Son of God. And still she responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." But this is not all she had to say. We learn even more about what Mary knew from her response further on in Luke chapter 1. Often called in translations the Magnificat from her song's first word in Latin, Mary begins by praising God. She calls God her Saviour and praises him for his mercy. She also demonstrates her knowledge of the scripture and Israel's history. She refers to Psalm 103, which says, "But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." She also refers to Psalm 107, "For he satisfies the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good." "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord," Mary responds. "How my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he took notice of this lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to all who fear him." Mary goes on and recounts God's promises and his great deeds. "He has scattered the proud," she says. "He's brought down rulers, exalted the humble, and fed the hungry." She recalls his promises to Abraham and his descendants. "God has had mercy on Israel and sent help." Mary's song displays her faith in God and her understanding of God's covenant promises. Mary directs all her praise to God alone for his salvation. She takes no credit for herself, and neither does she shy away from speaking boldly and intelligently of God's mighty and miraculous actions. Her response to the angel and in her song, there are examples for us as believers to follow. She turns from panic or from fear to God, his greatness, and his love. "Do not fear." But how can we do this? How can we go from this state of panic, perhaps fear, of uncertainty, to acknowledging God's greatness and his love? For me, I tend to go back, not back to yesterday or last week or even last year, but back to the scriptures, back to what has gone long, long, long before me. You go back into the Old Testament and you read stories of people like Noah, of Moses, of the Israelites, of King David, of God leading them, of his faithfulness, of God bringing people through. Sometimes these stories and these encounters are short, but sometimes they are 40 years in the wilderness. But still, God was faithful. I also, on occasions, go back into my own life and I consider times that were difficult. Perhaps when I have been hurt or confused, perplexed, questioning, wondering why on earth these things were happening. and I make a conscious decision to choose to look for the blessings, the faithfulness, and the love of God. Mary modeled for us how to do that. In recent years, a song has become very popular in the church, based on the priestly blessing in Numbers, the words, "The Lord bless you and keep you." And this song titled "The Blessing" goes on, and at one point it says this: "May his favour be upon you and 1,000 generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you." Our God is the God of ages, the God of history. From generation to generation, he was and still is God. Furthermore, it says in 1 John 4, "We have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love." The Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. Have you? Have you put your trust in Jesus? Have you put your trust in his love? Are you coming home to panic this Christmas, or to love? God sent his Son to form a bridge between the two. Do not fear. The Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love too.